Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are here with the one and only Jim Norton, who's coming for five shows at the DC Improv from March 22nd through the 24th. Jim, thanks so much for taking the time to join us.
Hey, thanks, buddy.
Now, how long do you go back with the DC Improv? Have you been going there for years?
Yeah, I don't know how long. It's been a long time. It's like, it's one of those clubs that, you know, like, if you bomb in the DC Improv, you should really get out of the business because you stink. Like, it's just one of those, it's an amazing room. So every comic loves working in. It's not the easiest room to get booked in because everybody works there. So their availability, you have to book it pretty far in advance. Over 10 years, maybe 15 years.
Gotcha. What is it about? I mean, does a DC comedy crowd have a different vibe than, let's say, like a New York or a Chicago? Like, is it a little more high-minded, cultured, or can we get down in the dirt too?
Both. You know, people that are coming to see me, anyone that's coming to see me is kind of garbage. So, you know, they're the same everywhere. Like, I attract the same people in Boston that I attract in North Carolina, that I attract in San Francisco. So, you know. People like to, if they like what I do, they'll come see me. If they don't, they won't. You know, D.C. is no different. Get a lot of people from Virginia coming in. You know, it's not just people from the Beltway, as they say.
Right. Well, and I know and I don't want to, like, burn any of your good, you know, your material or anything, but just, I guess maybe give us a hint of, like, what sort of topics are we going to talk about? Is it political or you know, well, give us at least a taste of sort of, the topics you might go into.
Sure. I'm covering everything. Mouthful of Shame was a year ago, my last special. And I covered, it's a totally different hour. None of the material's the same. You know, my own dating and sexual updates. of course, I talk about the Me Too movement. I talk about, the president and politics and dating. And, you know, it just kind of covered everything that's happened in the last year since my special came out.
Absolutely. I'm trying to remember when I remember even first becoming aware of you. I know it was probably, I mean, maybe it was with Tough Crowd with Colin Quinn. I freaking love that show. do you have memories of working on that show? And I would love if they could somehow bring that back. I thought it was hilarious.
You know, it's funny, man. So many people have said that, and I thank you for it. Colin, I know, always appreciates that. My memories of Tough Crowd are how much joy Colin would take when one of us would bomb. Like, that was, to me, the most fun of that show, was that it was showing comedy in a really honest way. Like, there's nights that we were really funny and great, and other nights that we kind of stunk, or the jokes were weak, and you were just seeing it for what it was. And that it wasn't polished garbage. Like, polished is nice, but it gets a little bit boring just seeing polished guys do polished. You know, this was a bunch of people pre-writing some jokes, riffing other jokes, making fun of each other, making fun of news and the world. It was a show, man, and they would never allow us to do that today because of the subject matters we hit. We used to get complaints even back then, and that's 2003 and 4. So today, that show would be very, very hard to do. And in all honesty, I mean, you know, Colin is doing okay. He had his heart attack, but he's on the mend. I'm around, and DiPaolo's around, and Keith Robinson, Keith had a stroke, so he's a little, he's still really funny, but he slowed up a little bit. And, of course, Geraldo and Patrice are dead. It would be a very hard show to do because so much of the spirit of the show wouldn't be there.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, and speaking of Colin's recent medical issue, I'm glad that he is. It does sound like he's on the mend, so that's great. Is it true that you...
Yeah, Colin is too young. Colin is too young to die, and Colin has a lot more people to make unhappy. Like, that's what Colin, like, he's got another 30 years of making people unhappy and bothering people. So, yeah, he's not going anywhere.
His work is not finished.
No. And he's such a brilliant comedian. It makes me sick to say that, but he really is.
Absolutely. Is it true that it was Andrew, the Dice Man, Andrew Dice Clay, was pivotal in helping bring you to the forefront, wasn't he?
I love Dice. Yeah, he changed my life. He he's the guy that brought me to Opie and Anthony, and I started going on there a little bit. And Opie's actually the one that told me to come in, and hey, we'll get you some money. And then, years later, I mean, Anthony and I were always friendly, but we really bonded a few years later too. So, you know, it was it's an interesting ride. But yeah, Dice started so much of it for me, man. I'm forever loyal to Dice.
Yeah, I remember that persona, Dice Man, would just, you know, I don't know. I mean, nowadays, everything's, you know, the phrase is all, you know, politically correct, which it's like a loaded phrase now anyway, so I hate using it. But you know what I mean? Like, he would venture into some pretty dicey places. Like, is that brand of comedy on its way out, or do you ever fear that we're becoming a little too, you know, afraid to go certain places?
No, I mean, there's always been things to push against, you know, like Dice. Political correctness kind of started when he popped up because people were so mad at what he was saying, and they were so mad that people were responding to it. It's like, it's just a dumb comedian making jokes. Who cares? You know, but he was actually just, it's funny. He's not a tough guy. Like, he's a silly guy. Dice is a silly dude. Like, Dice likes goofing off and making his dumb friends laugh. He likes to be mothered. That's my favorite part of Dice, is he's got this tough guy persona, but then he complains, like, I got a sore throat, and he wants tea with honey. You know, he likes to be treated like a giant baby. He likes to be mothered. He likes a big, cushy sweatshirt. He likes massages. Like, he's so not like that, which is what always made me laugh about it.
Nice. Now, he was pivotal in your career, but who did you enjoy watching, you know, when you were young, like, just starting out in the business, or even before you even thought you would be a stand-up?
When I was a kid, Richard Pryor, George Carlin, Robert Klein, the most underrated comedian of all time.
Was he the one where it's like starting the car? Please don't try to start me. Please don't try to start me. Leave me alone. I think that's Robert Klein.
Oh, I don't. You know what? I don't know.
Oh, you gotta look that. Google it after you get off here. You'll be crying. He does a thing where he takes the persona of a cold car trying to start, and it's hysterical.
Are you sure that's not Bob Newhart?
I thought. Well, maybe he got it from. I thought it was Robert Klein. Anyway,
you might be right.
Continue.
He's a comic genius.
Yeah.
Rodney, and of course, like Joan Rivers, I always thought was really underrated. Mm-hmm. I used to tape them off the Tonight Show and then just do their acts to myself. So yeah, I knew what I wanted to do my whole life. All I ever wanted to do was stand up.
Awesome. And then where did you actually start getting into it? Give us a sense of how you actually finally, do you remember your first time out on stage? Did you bomb?
Oh boy. You know, I got a few laughs. The weirdest part was hearing your voice projected back at you over a microphone. That was odd, like over a PA system. I got a couple of laughs, but it was also, you're so used to the cadence with your friends. Hey, look at that. And then you say something stupid and they laugh. So walking on stage and being filthy, and I was filthy. And then hearing silence was really, really unsettling.
Yeah, I bet that was odd.
Yeah, when you were bombing in the old days, but I'll tell you what else was amazing, getting a laugh. When you got a laugh from an audience, you could not believe that you had just heard that sound. So, yeah, I mean, both things were jarring. Any reaction was jarring.
Absolutely. And I know, how did you actually get into Opie and Anthony? I mean, you said, they ran, when did you guys run? You had like a 15-year run or something.
Well, Dice brought me on in 2000, and then Opie got me hired. So I worked with them until 2002 when we got, the show got canceled because of the Sex for Sam. And then we came back on satellite October 2004, and Anthony got fired July of 2014. So we had a decade there. And then Opie and I continued for two more years, but we stopped getting along. So, and then I did my show with Sam now, and Opie was doing his show, but he was fired earlier this year.
What you said you guys stopped getting along. What happened?
You know, man, whenever you're in a creative, once the Opie and Anthony show blew up, it's kind of hard for, you know, because Anthony and I always had great chemistry. Anthony and Opie had great chemistry. Me and Opie had okay chemistry.
Right.
You know what I mean? So we were the last two guys that should have done the show. Anthony and Opie together did a really good show. And I think me and Anthony together would have done a really good show. But me and Opie together just weren't meant to do a show. So creatively, when you're collaborating, you know how it is, man, it's hard. So whatever, we both just had issues with each other and, we stopped getting along and stopped seeing eye to eye, and he was still technically my boss, and I really resented that. And he could tell I wasn't having fun, and he resented that. So we just started to resent each other.
Gotcha. Well, I know now you're doing a podcast on UFC with Matt Serra, UFC Unfiltered. How long have you guys been doing that, and how's that sort of grown?
It's amazing, dude. I'm actually leaving here in a couple of minutes to tape that today. We have the women's strawweight champion calling in. It's fun to do because I'm not a UFC expert. I'm a UFC fan, and I'm friends with Matt, and I'm friends with Dana. And Matt is Matt Serra. You know, he's a legend. So the fact that he knows everything about the fighter, and I'm the fan, it kind of works out really well. It's like the fighter and the kid were doing it before we were doing it, Brian and Brandon. They do a great show. And, you know, it's like one guy, although Brian is more knowledgeable as a non-fighter than I am because Brian took it. So those guys know more. Both of those guys know more than me, and Matt knows more than me. So of the four, I'm the least knowledgeable.
Awesome. Well, we'll steal a phrase from that, and because I know you got to tape your other one, so I'm going to tap out and let you go over and do that. But I guess just in closing, why should our listeners come out to the improv?
Because you have nothing better to do.
That's for damn sure. All right. Thanks so much.
It's a good show. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, thanks for joining us.
All right, bye.
Bye.